You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Get in gear
and review Ratchet and Clank.
God, you suck.
You're not supposed
stop
to.
Stop it. Nuts and bolts? Yeah. Make sure nothing bad happens.
You asked me to come up with an intro.
I know, but I want to make fun of you. Yeah, it's a good get off on the right foot.
Yeah. A bad one.
Yeah. What the hell did you say again? Get in gear?
Are you ready to get in gear?
Yeah.
With fist pumps with each word?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, obviously.
Well, the humor is better in Ratchet and Clank than what we just displayed right now.
In the game, yeah. Not necessarily the movie,
no.
As you were describing it to
well,
me.
Well, this is the remake. How do they describe
okay,
it?
Okay, so we are reviewing Ratchet and Clank 2016, a remake of the original game, because it is a game based on a movie that is based on a game.
That's it. That's how they sell it.
Yep. I think all in all, it kind of works.
It works. Back then, before the movie came out, it was like, that's really funny. But now, This came out first before the film did. And then, people were upset because when the.
Does it spoil the movie?
It spoiled because certain scenes were from the film.
Lifted directly from the movie.
Yeah, exactly. And so it kind of just made it kind of awkward. People were upset. And I saw the film, it's not terrible. It's really bad. And it's just because, like we were saying off mic, it has a lot in common with like Illumination Entertainment, who are like the makers of Despicable Me.
Banana.
It's like it's that kind of humor where it's so dumbed down, it's treating you like an idiot. And whereas in like the Ratchet and Clank, the game itself, it's actually kind of smart and funny and goofy. But here in the film, they're just trying to sell you. It's like, please buy these toys. You know, they make all these goofy nouns. Hey, watch Ratchet throw up everywhere. Isn't that hilarious?
That's a weird choice.
Yeah, actually. And it just comes off really off-putting, especially having played the game before then.
And I think I remember seeing the trailer for the game,
mm-hmm.
or the movie, and thinking,
yeah,
that's really weird.
Yeah.
Because Ratchet and Clank, the sequels to the original, had titles like Up Your Arsenal and Going Commando, which are a pun
racing.
On being naked and another pun on shoving stuff up your butt.
I mean, there's a whole scene where Ratchet's like insinuating he wants to have sex with one of the characters, like one of the very well endowed female characters in the game. And I mean, Ratchet always has had a kind of raciness to it. It always played of like innuendo, but as the games later on in the series, especially with like the movie, it's like that's all gone.
Yeah, see, yeah. That's my experience. That's. And I know you like to poo-poo on the mascot games of the PlayStation 2,
yeah,
but
yeah.
Jack and Ratchet and Sly, to an extent, were all kind of got... They were very marketed towards 13, 14-year-olds.
There were some furries working on those games. All right? I saw the, Sly's hot fox lady's always... It's like,
Carmella.
My God, Carmella. The boobies on her. It's like, Jesus Christ. Someone's on DeviantArt quite often, I think. I totally got you off track on this.
I was just thinking about DeviantArt and furries and like what's going
but,
on there.
I mean, we are, yeah, like we said, we're reviewing the newest Ratchet and Clank game, like after many years of really just mediocrity,
Yeah, I think before this one, they had a collection, but the original game were All for One and Full Frontal Assault, which I think were...
One was a tower defense game.
That's what Full Frontal Assault
yeah,
is.
Full Frontal
okay.
Assault was,
All
yeah.
for One is like... A four sort of like a Smash TV-esque game,
yeah.
And I remember
with Quirk, it's with Ratchet, Clank, Captain Quark, and Nefarious,
yeah. And I remember getting that, and I was like, this is not at all what I want from a Ratchet game. What I want from a Ratchet game is weird ass guns, slightly racy puns, and I don't know, characters like really goofy, oddball characters,
yeah. And fun dialogue.
And, returning to Ratchet and Clank, actually seeing this game, and first off, I was very excited for it, because mm-hmm. I missed all the future games that were released on PlayStation 3.
Right, yeah.
I just by the time I got a PS3, it was really late in the game, and I just
you're got looking it. At Uncharted.
Yeah, I was looking at Uncharted and stuff like that. So like, I just missed these, unfortunately. And when I got my hands on Ratchet and Clank, I was like, I'm 13 years old. Again.
I remember
these
PS2, the best console.
When it started, I was, and I'll say this up front: Ratchet was my least favorite of the three.
Really,
it was Jack and Daxter, Sly Cooper, and then Ratchet and Clank.
All right.
But so yeah, when I was playing it, I really was transported back to that PS2 era, for better and for worse. I think
for me, like, this is everything that was great about the PS2 in terms of introducing, because I mean the PS2 was known for those mascot, those third person platforming games.
Yeah, my favorite genre.
And yeah, which I get that. And this is definitely like, we're going to show you what this looks like on a console two generations later. And it's really good for the most part. I think that the platforming segments are great. Everything, anytime you're playing Ratchet, I was really enjoying the game. Particularly, like you just mentioned, like all the crazy guns, which I don't know if you have a particular favorite, but I have two. The pixelator, which is when you fire at the enemy, they turn into like a bunch of pixels, mm-hmm. they're like pixel art, and they die. And the Groovatron, where
always a fave.
That is just an amazing weapon where if you shoot at an enemy or a group of enemies, they basically do all these choreographed dance moves. And they're so different from each other. It's not like the same one. Like, yeah. You know, like the one I can make kind of a comparison is like the dubstep gun in Saints Row 4. And it's like they all do the same, you know, twitchy motions. Yeah. Like here it's like, wow, this is a choreographed dance.
Each single enemy has its own reaction.
Even the bosses.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. It's like, wow, it's so funny and creative. And that's one of the great charms of the Ratchet and Clank.
And I really love to see that it was Insomniac. Like, yeah, actual Insomniac games returned to the franchise that really kicked it off for them. I mean, you can say Spyro, but I really think it's this one.
Yeah. You can say it's Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah. I'm not returning to Spyro anytime soon. And I think it's that touch of Insomniac coming back to their characters.
Yes.
Their characters. And I think if Sony had passed it on to some second party type developer, those small touches would have been missed.
Yeah.
And it's very surprising that they did take the time to do this.
Yeah. There's actually, you bring that up, that stuff could have been missed. There's a reverence. People that love those original Ratchet games, particularly the first one, there's a lot of inside jokes in this game. The characters will always go, I think we've seen this guy before. And it's because you saw that guy before in the original game. Or it's like, some of the dialogue is, I'll see you in the reboot or the next reboot. It's like, you know, that's really fun. And it's poking fun at themselves and some of their inconsistencies, which they actually address some. One in particular, which I think is very important, but just that they have a love and appreciation for their past. Now, in regards to the inconsistencies, one from the original game was that Ratchet and Clank started out hating each other. They hate each other throughout the majority of that game, and they really didn't become friends till the very end. Here, they're friends right off the bat. And like Ratchet is like a really endearing and caring character.
He's a much more likable character.
And Clank is, you know, kind of a little snide, but kind of in a posh sort of way.
I think,
you know, Clank, it makes sense.
They balance them out a lot more.
Yes.
Ratchet was very just kind of like agitated with Clank.
Yeah.
And Clank was very much a kind of goody two shoes, but also he did have, he had more poshness to him. Or no, not even, he didn't have much character.
He was just,
from what I recall.
Yeah. But he was like, he had like a weird sense of morality.
Yeah. Where in this one, Ratchet is much more hopeful.
He's a good person.
Yeah, he's a good person. He has a dream that he's striving for. Mm-hmm. And Clank kind of stumbles into his life and he is already just so like happy. He doesn't have that edge to him that I think for you at least was very like, kind of turned you off a little bit.
Sure.
I was prime teenage age, so I was like, fuck him. Fuck him. Jack 2 was the best.
No, it most certainly was not. But, I mean, however, because I just want to mention, what was your favorite like weapon in the game?
Use-wise?
Or just, like, actually? Anything.
I think it was a pixelator.
Yeah.
I love the fact that, I love the sound, and then to watch just like, you don't touch them, like, if you shoot them enough and you kill them, it just, like, the pixels just fall, and I loved that sound design that was going on in there.
No, all the sound design is great, and, I mean, especially, even when you're, like, bashing the enemies and things like that, like, everything feels like it has, like, a good thunk to it.
Yeah.
You know, that's really fun. It made me satisfied when I was fighting enemies.
Yeah, even when, you just, like, do a down stomp, a la Mario, like, with your wrench, it just, the thud, doom. It's just always very satisfying.
Yeah.
A lot of this game is satisfying in some of the weapons, like, they don't feel as weighty because like the Sheepinator or whatever it's called is a laser. It's not really impacting anything.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's just, there's a lot of color to this game too. Mm-hmm. You talk about the laser of the Sheepinator. It's filled with these vibrant purples and blues and, I don't know. I love spoilers when one of the bad guys gets turned into a sheep. Yes. And just the sort of cartoony animation in his face. It's like so well done. Yeah. And like the white on the blacks. And then Nefarious is so like vibrant green. And like classic cartoon bad guy.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Before he was a robot.
Before. Yeah. Which I. That was weird. Yeah, I couldn't remember.
It's like, oh, he's organic in this one. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Because when I saw him, I was like, wait, that's. You don't have a fake brain.
Yeah.
Right? I will say a lot of this, and maybe it's been a while since I played the OG Ratchet, but they made a lot of changes to the story, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, well, one, I mean, just the dynamic between Ratchet and Clank, but I mean, I guess that was one of the weaker parts of the game where the story's just kind of generic, where Ratchet, he wants to be a ranger, whatever they call it, what they call it, All-Star Ranger?
Galactic Ranger.
Galactic Ranger, thank you. And basically it's him, you know, he's like, oh, I love you, Captain Quark, and Captain Quark is an asshole, predictably. Yeah. And the game's actually narrated by him, and that's the best part of the story to me.
I love the fact that, because I think in the original, you didn't know Quark was a bad guy.
Yeah.
He was just kind of, he wasn't even really there that much, was he?
No, not as much. Here, he's very much present in a lot.
A lot of the joke.
Him inserting himself because he's such a narcissist. It makes sense in a way.
And even though it's like it understands that it's a reboot in that sense where it's like, I'm assuming that by the time you get to the 7th? Maybe 10th Ratchet game that you already know Quark's an asshole.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're just going to be upfront that he's an asshole. And he's one of my favorite characters because he is so like chauvinistic. He's like if Buzz Lightyear was a dick.
And incompetent.
Yeah. And it is fun. I think there's an instance in the game where he just like the story randomly goes, and then there was a giant T-Rex attack.
Yeah.
And the villain's like, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Like that. Because he's telling a fellow inmate who just saw the Holo film.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to know the real story behind it, which I thought was a great premise.
Yeah. It's great. Again, referencing the film, which no one should see. The Holo film, no one should see.
To move on to the game or the movie a little bit, how they connect. Why is the movie so bad? Because it feels there are a lot of instances in the game where they take right from the movie.
Does it just
dip too deep into the cartoony side?
It does, and it doesn't. You never get the sense of camaraderie between Ratchet and Clank. Like, okay, so you have all those cutscenes in the main game, sure, but then even when you're playing the game, you get some of those goofy moments. You get that bond in between them. That's not there. The movie moves so fast. And a lot of like the certain planets are missing from the game. They're just, you know, not at all. It just feels like they put together all the cutscenes from the game and added maybe a few others and stitched it together. And then you're left with, you know, not really a great relationship between any of the characters, particularly between Ratchet and Clank, but also just this really awkward humor, which again, I think the humor works in the game, but not so much in the movie because they kind of go too much with it. They're trying too hard to market it towards little kids. And it's just like, it just doesn't work.
And I mean, I will say not every joke in the game is quite...
No, you're not laughing out loud. It's not like a belly laugh, but it's like,
Even sometimes I'm just like, that was definitely a kid joke. Like that was directed just at the kids. And so I think for some people who do remember that hard edge, they might miss it a little bit.
Sure.
Because I think this is still a movie tie-in game. The little kid little kid who saw the Ratchet and Clank movie, they're
all 10 of them.
They had to make it. They had to make this game in a sense that where that little kid could be like, okay, I want to play the game with the robot in the fox or whatever you want to call it.
Lombax.
Lombax, right?
Mm-hmm. Lombax. Yeah, it's an X at the end.
And so, like, there are instances where I can tell it's just like, oh, 5-year-old supposed to be playing.
Yeah, and that's what kind of the movie is.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's not made for me.
But then when I run into a character named Skid McMarks and it hits me that, oh, he means shit stain.
Yes.
And I'm just like, okay, that's funny.
There you go. They're trying to get out of the way of the SRB. But I mean, now I have a few negative things to say about it.
Yeah.
I think the story itself is not all that particularly interesting. It's, you know, fairly predictable. It's like, okay, we get where this is going. It's like, okay, that's fine. But there's one part of the gameplay which I really disliked. Because it reminded me of something. And those are the portions where you play as Clank.
Oh, that's bad.
Those are bad.
Did it remind you of Secret Agent Clank?
I never played that. Okay. I forgot the game existed. So thank
you're
for
welcome.
Reminding
PSP
me.
Spinoffs with the with the sidekicks. Daxter.
Yeah, that's
Daxter?
Right. Oh, I do not remember Daxter.
Daxter's pretty okay.
Yeah.
But I also love Daxter.
I don't believe you. But the parts, especially like on those, on rail segments, basically, where you're running away from an enemy, it's like, This is fucking Crash Bandicoot. You put Crash Bandicoot in my Ratchet and Clank. Get that out of here.
It's a really it's bad.
But those are bad, right? Yeah, those segments, it's like...
bad.
It's very yes.
bad. I'm so very scared convinced. For the Insane Trilogy yeah, to come out. Yeah.
It looks pretty, but... So, I mean, that
can't
really...
change the gameplay.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. But, so, those kind of... Anytime I have to play as Clank, I'm thinking, ugh, I don't want to do this.
Yeah, and I'd say, like, if we're talking about complaints, sometimes the certain weapons don't feel weighty.
Yeah, some of the weapons I never used.
But there were instances where, I don't know, I think, yeah, and we talked about this off mic as well, it's like, we're playing so many things, and we're like, doing so many different things with jobs and like other stuff with one of us, that late into the game, I started to be like, I get it. Like,
it's too long.
It's too long. It's maybe a planet or two too long. And there are some filler planets, but like, they also make you kind of like, that's where some of the weapons are. Mm-hmm. Some of the, like, magna boots. Maybe if...
The grinding segments. I didn't care for the grinding segments either. I thought they were okay.
Yeah, they're whatever.
It reminded me of Sonic. God, this is, like, reminding me of all the things I hate.
Again, a character platformer.
Yeah.
I think if, like, I spread it out a little bit more, it may have been better. Yeah. Don't rush through it, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Take 2 weeks to play.
Yeah. What I do love about it, though, there's not a bunch I hate, but what I really love about it is... I don't know if this was in the first game, but I know by the second and third it really implemented it. Mm-hmm. It's kind of got this grindy RPG element with the guns.
Oh yeah, there's a great XP, upgrade system. Yeah.
And it just makes me want to use the guns more. Because originally, the thing about games with guns is I find the gun I like and I use it.
Yeah.
This game with that progression system for each gun forced me to like look into the second page of weapons and like... try the Pixelator.
It's
try
smart.
The Groovichon. And I found myself like grinding through the first two levels and I was like, oh yeah, I really do like this gun. That's what really got me into the Pixelator the first time. And then they add this nice element where how to upgrade not just like through use, but you find crystals in the game and you can upgrade like your ammo counts, your spread, and like if you can circle, it's a grid system, weirdly enough. And if you select the right upgrades, you get some sort of hidden upgrade, which I think was a lot of fun, a nice little touch to kind of hook you in. And I did find myself, especially in that middle portion of the game early on too, getting really hooked into the systems. And I think...
great for RPG fans.
Yeah. And it's such a weird touch and something I forgot about the Ratchet & Clank series. What I was missing though, and you know, this is where you can kind of tell it's not a full-on Ratchet & Clank game, is... I kind of feel, and you can see in the weapon scroll wheel, maybe there's four extra weapons that you could have thrown in there, I think. And something that was great in the third game, armor. I just really loved the armor and being able to upgrade that. I thought that would have been really fun. Honestly, it just made me kind of like wish for a full-on installment Ratchet & Clank game.
Yeah.
Where... I think that's the thing with this game, is it certain aspects of it feel like we made it because we had to, and like we know how to make these games and we love these characters. Like the nice elements about it feel much like we love these characters and we want to show them some due respect. Because I think the Groovichon's an old weapon. Yeah. I don't think any of these weapons are really new.
I would know. I've been so long. You know?
Yeah, I think maybe if any of them are new, it's like the ones that are just basically rocket launchers.
Yeah, I mean that's stuff.
The fun weapons, though, I don't think any of them are really new entries. And I don't know. It feels more like it's so good because Insomniac loves their character.
Yeah.
Not because they felt like they had something to say with the game or they had a unique story to tell. Because I don't think the story was written by them. And so...
yeah, it's for the movie.
Yeah, and so, like, it just made me kind of pine for another, like, a real full-on installment. And it actually might just push me to check out the future games. If I can search out someone's PS3 and borrow it for a little bit. But, yeah. I don't know if you have any other thoughts.
No, there's my thoughts. As someone who has, you know, talked shit about the PS2 generation.
God, you suck, by the way.
It's a plethora of games.
It's a great console. Best console.
I mean, this represents the best of that generation. It kind of comes together, for the most part. I mean, you got the wonderful upgrade mechanics. You have great gameplay. The guns are interesting. The characters are funny. The dialogue's good. I mean, I had a blast playing it. Maybe a little too long. Maybe you could have cut out like a level or two, but... yeah, for me, I definitely encourage people to check this out, even if you're a fan of these old games, and if you're not, it's a great entry point. And I'm really looking forward to the future of this franchise. Funny enough, because you brought up where it feels like they're kind of going through the motions to a certain extent, and there's like not enough like there maybe. This game was $40 originally. It was not a full price game.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing, is it feels very much like if it was their game,
yeah,
they would have gone that extra step.
They do
extra steps, but it feels more like, well, we're not going to let our character go to shit. Like, yeah, we're protecting our IP,
yeah,
making sure we get like some good basics. Like, people who have played all these games know that the Groovitron does this.
Yeah.
They know that the Sheepinator works like this. So like that Groovitron thing, that's a wonderful thing, but that's something Insomniac has done
right
in the past.
So it's like almost too nostalgic in a certain extent.
For someone who's played all the PS2 version, mm-hmm, all the PS2 games, yeah. I think it feels more like a retread than an evolution, which, mm-hmm, it is a reboot, mm-hmm, and it's made to tie into a movie. It is very much kind of like a budget title. I get that.
Yeah.
But I think for long time fans, you're going to love returning, yeah, but I think you are going to want to yearn for something. You wish that they could have had more.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It's still a great game, though.
Like, oh, yeah.
I still enjoyed it and my time with it. It's
worth buying.
Yeah. Ultimately, I give it 8 out of 10 slick dance moves. So
That's good. Yeah. I'd probably, same ratings. I give it an 8 out of 10 evil corporations. Which, that's the thing, like, anytime I look at, like, Drax, what's his name? Is it the little minion guy?
Drex,
excuse me. It's like, that's Donald Trump. It totally is. That's our future president. He's gonna...
Well, you know, funny enough, mm-hmm, if you, I play New Game Plus, and you know, you got that museum, you unlock the Insomniac,
yeah,
Museum.
Yeah.
Again, another great feature of the Ratchet & Clank games. I love that. There's so, mm-hmm, many cool unlockables. But what's hidden, like, if you, like, I think it's on the second floor of the museum, and you, mm-hmm, take two lefts, and then I read online that you enter this like specific code.
Yeah.
You see that Drex is getting peed on.
Holy shit.
See you in the next reboot!